Greetings, everyone, all those who are here. I just want to say thank you and welcome for being here. And all those who are online, I would like to also welcome you. And I know that there are people out there who are very dedicated and devoted to wanting to learn about the Lord and to grow in His name. I want to mention there are two people in particular that I'm thinking about, Chung and Sharon Tay. Sharon Tay and Chung Sheng Li, they're friends. They are wonderful Christians over there in Singapore who have shown great support for this ministry in many ways. And they're probably up right now listening to the message, and it's probably, what is it, probably 12 o'clock midnight there right now. And only to get up and go to work the next day. And I just want to make that known to people. And how dedicated that is. And how that people like that are hungry all over the world. And here in America, we don't understand what that means to be hungry for God. And it should be filling our every fiber and every breath that we take. It should be something so strong in us that it overtakes us. That hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. And people can't come even a 10-minute drive to church and can't make it to church. Hello. Isn't that right? What's wrong with that picture? But I want to encourage people today, and I want to strengthen people's faith and encourage people to continue. Don't give up. Do what you can while there's still time to live for Christ. Amen? We don't have much time left in this country. I want to just go ahead and pray and ask that the Lord would be with us today. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you this day, this service, the song service and worship, the praise that belong only to you, Lord God. We give it to thee. In humble submission, adoration, we walk before thee, Lord God, and give you all the glory, praise, and the honor, because we deserve nothing. I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor again today, Lord, and I ask that you would be with us today. Walk the aisles of every heart, every soul, Lord God, speak, convince, and convict of sin. Help us, Lord God, to overcome every obstacle, every situation in our lives, to be renewed and transformed in our mind and hearts, O God, to understand and know your will, your way. Lord God in heaven, we ask that you would be here today. We invite the Holy Ghost and we invite the Lord Jesus Christ right here in front and center to be glorified and honored and praised. And I praise your holy name, Lord God, that you would speak to every heart now that is online, every heart that is here today, all those who would perhaps listen to this later down the road as it is posted on the internet. I give you all again the praise, the glory, and the honor today, Lord God, for being with us. We seek to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay, praise God. Amen. Good to see you, Doug. Everyone else. Amen. And, yeah, praise God. Okay, why don't we go ahead and start off by going to number 95 in the hymn book. It's Hallelujah, He's an Answering God. But before we do that, I want to read something to you. It's in Psalms 91. I want to start off over in just to preface what I want to tell you. Sometimes that light angle is a little bit bright and blurry, so bear with me. Sometimes it happens. It says here in Psalm 91, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. in all thy ways to keep you. You've understood and seen and known and realized the many things that you've had to go through at work, at school, on the job, while you're traveling, at home, or wherever. You've seen the many times how the Lord has helped you in many ways. How that He's given His angels charge over you. We all have angels of God. We don't glorify angels, but we know that they are messengers sent to those who would inherit the kingdom of heaven. To minister to your needs, even while you're still here on earth. It says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. In other words, you have authority in the Holy Ghost and in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ to trample on the enemy, which is the devil, your enemy. Humans aren't our enemy. We all have enemies in the flesh, but who's working through that? It's the devil, right? And we need to pray for people. Ask the Lord to help them overcome. That we can all overcome and we can all make it, right? We want to see people make it. Even our worst enemies, you don't want to see them in hell. Isn't that right? I want to see them make it to heaven. Because He has set His love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He hath known my name. In other words, if you're born again, you're born again. You know the Lord and He knows you. Your name is written in heaven. You know, I'm reminded of a story here before we go to number 95 in the chorus book about Sergey. Now, Sergey, I don't know what country this is in, but usually and typically the name Sergey is very prominent in Romania and the Eastern Bloc countries especially. But Sergey, especially in Romania, I've known people over there, and it's well known. He was a man who was in this town where by the way, in Romania, it's well known too that the mafia, they will come and invade towns, small villages and towns, and go to all the businesses around those areas and expect a collection, a percentage of pay. And that's what happens in a lot of these towns in the Eastern Bloc countries, but especially Romania. I was robbed on a train in Romania, so I kind of see what that's like when I was on one of my mission trips over there. But this man Sergey, he had this business, and he had these collection agents come, these mafias, always coming to collect his money. Finally, he decided he's just not going to do it anymore. But during that time, he came to know the Lord. And the Lord dealt with him. No longer give your money to the mafia. And so they came and they hauled him off to jail into one of their houses. They have a jail cell, a house, controlled by the mafia, which of course that whole town was controlled by the mafia. But they've got their own headquarters, and they threw him in a jail cell. And that night, as he was praying to the Lord, he had guards, a double set of doors and guards throughout the house. And here he was praying to the Lord. And in the early hours of the morning, the doors open up and in walks a man, an angel of God, who says, "Come, Sergey, get up, follow me." That's all he said. That was it. He got up and he followed him out the jail, outside the house. And he went to tell his other Christian friends what the Lord had done for him. This is a true story that happens. This is of biblical epic proportions. This can happen today in your life. Whenever you find your back against the wall, there is the Lord Jesus. He sends his ministering angels to boot. Amen. For our account, for our sake, but for his glory. Because he's the answering God. He hears our prayer. We don't praise and worship a human. We praise and worship the God who created us. That's where our praise and worship belong. Amen. So let's go there and sing that song. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Give glory to God. Amen. Praise his name. Give glory to God. Amen. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise your name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Amen. Glory to God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Savior. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord deserves all our glory. He deserves all the praise and the honor, doesn't he? I give the Lord all the glory and the praise. Because I got to tell you something, I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing without him. And I can do nothing without the Lord. And I don't even want to try. Because it would be an absolute colossal waste of time. Without God's help, without his glory shining upon our lives, we can neither think, we can neither see or hear or understand anything at all. It's time people wake up and see that. We live moment to moment. Every breath we take is borrowed air from God. It's a borrowed breath. And we're reliant on the Lord Jesus every moment. Like the vine on a tree that receives its sap. We rely on the Spirit of God, the blood of Christ, to help us. The Word of God, His Spirit. Without that sap going to the branch, it withers away. It dies. It dies on the vine. Good for nothing but to be chopped down, cut, burnt, thrown into the fire. That's quite a picture, isn't it? You know, years ago, July 28th of the year 2000, a story came out of one of the Muslim countries that they didn't want to mention only because they want to keep it secret for the sake of all those in this strict Muslim country who would otherwise be persecuted and killed for their faith. The story goes that there's this missionary couple over in one of these Muslim countries, I'm thinking probably either towards the Middle East, maybe even near the Turkey area, who knows. But in that area where there's Muslims, they were near a large city, a Muslim city. I wished I knew this, but they've had to keep it incognito to keep these Christians safe. So what had happened was this missionary couple was very discouraged. They'd been in this country for many years, but very discouraged because they'd seen very little fruit. Finally, they said, well, let's just pack up and go home. Let's just go home. But before they did, they decided they're just going to do one more thing. They're going to pray and fast for a few days. And during that time, as they're praying and fasting, the Lord spoke to them and says, go to the garbage dump people. Now, the garbage dump people is a people, thousands and thousands of people in this country. On the outskirts of this town, thousands of Muslims living on the garbage dump in cardboard boxes. They've made it a type of city because that's the only place they have. They have no home. But those cardboard boxes and whatever else they can find. And here it turns out, as they were seeking the Lord told them to go seek these people out at the garbage dump. The very first day they went there, they began a Bible study with 30 or 40 people. Within a year, they've got 800 to 900 people going to the Bible study. In this garbage dump. But then one day, they had made mention to an old man they were talking with at the time and said, we need to find a shelter. Somehow we need to find a shelter from the elements that are out here. And it turns out that this man who, when he was just a young boy, had heard his other older folks that he knew back then when he was just a boy told him about this cave deep underground that they would go to when he was young, just a boy. Well, one day as he was talking to this missionary couple, he said, well, when I was a boy, I used to go to a place when I was very young, but I don't know if I remember where it was. But it might be just around this area, if he remembered correctly. They went searching throughout the cave, the rocks, behind the garbage dump, and they went through an entrance. So they walked and they walked and they walked for about 45 minutes throughout this cave. They came to the end and then they turned the corner, and there before them stood a large Colosseum that had been preserved since the early days of Roman times. Within that cave. And there, they began to hold meetings and preach. Within that cave that sat 5,000 people. In that Colosseum. You're probably not going to see this. Now, it's been documented as fact, but you're probably not going to see it. It's not well known anywhere. And within this cave, they began to preach. And before long, every seat was full. And in those Muslim countries, there is a phenomenon going on where the Lord appears to Muslims.
Oh, glory.
All over these Muslim countries. It's a well-documented fact. And people are coming to the Lord in droves. Giving their life to the Lord. Becoming born again. And before long, this Colosseum was filled. They began walking down the aisles from these seats way back, left and the right side, coming down to the front, giving testimonies of what the Lord's been doing in their lives. Hey, I marvel at how the Lord remembers the lowly and the despised. He doesn't forget people like that. God will use any simple means, and by simple prayer and earnestly seeking God, He'll lead you to the dumpster people, to the garbage people, and there make a way. That's God's way and character. He wants us to know that we can come to Him in our time of need, and we're desperate and lowly and needy for Him. That He'll hear your prayer. Amen. I hope we can go to the song now and sing it. 107 in the hymn book, Glory to His Name. We could go there. Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Chat thy poor soul at thy Savior's feet. Plunge it today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the flood of mine. Glory to His name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God in heaven. There's a song I want to go to. He hideth my soul. Number 6 in the hymn book. If you could go there with me. Number 6. He hideth my soul. You know, we live in a day and age where everyone can see you. We live in a day and age where nothing's hid. We live in a day and age where today you walk down the street, you got all cameras pointed at you. Cities, streets, highways, bridges. Hardly makes no difference anymore, does it? Even in small towns, probably even in Mayberry. Well, those days are long gone, aren't they? The days of Mayberry. But there is a God who never changes. There is a God in heaven that we can count on, that we can go to, that when we are in great need, we need of help and encouragement and strength and faith and hope, there He is. There He is, right there. We can hide ourselves in the Lord, and He'll hide us. Let's go there. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Lift up your hands. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. There shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hands. And covers me there with His hands. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty man. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hands, and covers me there with His hands. With numberless blessings each moment, moment he crowned and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my glory, oh glory to God, for much a redeemer as mine. Let my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in the brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the depths of his love that shadows a dry, thirsty man. He hideth my soul and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty man. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Praise God in heaven. Glory to God. Praise God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord knows how to heal us. He knows how to restore, doesn't he? The Lord is a great redeemer, the great restorer, the one who is there in your time of need. You know, I just was reminded here, I wanted to read you something. The world's way of restoring you is to give you vaccines, to do surgeries that are unneeded, to give you chemicals and drugs, antibiotics that hurt you. That's the world's way of helping you. It's called death by doctors. Amen? I want to read you something here. Some of the ingredients that are put into vaccines, just so you're aware of it. Vaccinations. This is their way of helping you. Okay? I want to read to you what they put in your vaccines. MSG, antifreeze, formaldehyde, aluminum, glycerin, lead, cadmium, sulfates, yeast proteins, antibiotics, acetone, neomycin, streptomycin, mercury, monkey kidney, dog kidney, duck egg, calf serum, aborted fetal tissue, pig blood, horse blood, sheep blood, rabbit brain, guinea pig, etc., etc., etc. This is what goes into those vaccines that they give you and tell you, now this is going to help you. But God's way is better. God came to heal that which was blind, deaf, and lame. He came to raise the dead. He came to set you free that you might live. That's God's way.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Man's way is full of corruption. It stinketh to high heaven. Wow. Oh, how we need the Lord in these end days.
Amen. Amen. We need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus.
One more song before we close the song service today. Right here. Well, no, let's go to a different one here. Let's sing "We're Coming Out of Babylon," number 71. Because without coming out of Babylon, you are still stuck in the world. Your heart is still given over to the things of the world unless you come out of Babylon. Isn't that true? We need to come out of Babylon. Come out of that system. Come out of it. Run. Get away from it. Reject it and renounce it. Let's go there. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon, we're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our soul. We've taken our hearts down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shall praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Are you magnifying the Lord today? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name, O God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise your name, O Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Well, we're going to take up tithes and offerings, and if anybody has anything that they care to raise their hand about, please feel free to raise your hand. Thank you, Doug. Anyone care to have anything that they want to share, encourage, strengthen, edify, comfort? Please feel free to raise your hand. And it's okay, even if it's something simple. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. Well, I just want to say that I want to praise God for a new day, for a new way, for health and healing in spite of the symptoms. I want to thank God and praise God for faith, hope. There is a God. He is able to deliver us. Able to deliver you today. All those who are online, they can deliver. He can deliver you today, tonight, tomorrow. Only believe. Only believe. That's what the Lord requires. Believe on Him. How many people can do that? It takes faith to believe. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the tithes, gifts, and offerings. We thank you, Lord, for you are able to restore what the devil has stolen. Lord God, you are able to do all things right, good, and well, pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ, for the Holy Ghost, for the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us on our behalf. Even though while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Oh, Lord God, you came and you took back what the devil stole from the sin of Adam and all those who followed after Adam. Oh, Lord God, but you came and redeemed us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the tithes, gifts, and offerings. Pray that you'd multiply it and bless the giver. Help us, Lord, to continue to be good stewards of what you give us. For thy glory, thy purpose and plan. We pray in one agreement, one accord now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. Okay, the name of the song, the message, I guess you could call it a song. The name of the message today is called Taking Back What the Devil Stole. Amen. Taking Back What the Devil Stole. And here, we're going to continue in the book of 1 Samuel, because it's a wonderful book of history. It's a wonderful book of lessons, life lessons that you will never forget the rest of your life. It's there for your good and for my good. Now I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 29. We're going to be going into chapter 29 and 30 today. I want to show you how that the Lord is able to take back on our behalf what the devil stole from you and from me. How that you can take back what the devil stole from you in your life. Your family, your loved ones, by going to the Lord. Amen? By trusting God. Let's go to chapter 29, verse 1. David finds himself in a place he never thought he'd be. Here he finds himself in a situation where having been so fed up and caught up in the atmosphere of discouragement and running from Saul, He backslides. He did not trust God at this situation where he decided, I'm going to go and live with the Philistines. He won't find me there. I'll go join their army. I'll be a part of their life. I'll go live there. That's what David did. We read here, now the Philistines gathered together. Now we got to understand too that Saul is in the very throes of the last day or two of his life. This is the end for Saul. Coming to the very end of his life now. Now we probably won't get to that today, but the following week we'll be reading about his death. But today I want to focus on taking back what the devil stole. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by the fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the re-reward with Achish. In other words, in the back, as they followed the trail, that army, they followed Achish, the king of the Philistines there, in the back of this brigade. As they were traveling by horse, chariot. And it says here, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? You ever have people tell you that? What do these Hebrews hear? Sometimes the world can see things and you can't see them because you're backslidden. What do you Christians do here in this nightclub? What are you doing over here living with another person or sleeping around or going to this nightclub over here and drinking over here, sipping saints? There's no such thing as a saint that sips.
Oh, dear.
No such thing. Oh, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day? And now, that's kind of a sad testimony, isn't it? It's like having someone walk with you in your life, a heathen, and say, well, you know, I don't see their witness. I mean, I don't see where, you know, don't persecute this guy. He's not really a Christian. She's not really a Christian. They're really not living for the Lord. Don't persecute them. I don't see their witness. But you see, there's another thing here too that I want to point out, and that is that here we have the Philistine princesses fearing that David would turn on him or turn on them in the heat of battle for the sake of their favor, finding favor with Saul. That was their mindset at the time. But there are many parallels that we can draw from here in Scripture. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us that deep calleth unto deep. We are to search the Scriptures. We are to live in the Scriptures. If we abide in Him, He will abide in us. That's where you find fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Deep calleth unto deep.
That's right.
And He will give you and reveal things to you as you search the Scriptures. He'll point things out to you. who give you wisdom and understanding concerning these matters. But it says here, in verse 4, and the princesses of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Can you see that? That was their mindset. They understood that David could very well turn on them like a rabid dog. But they could see it, but David was too blind to see it. David couldn't understand that he was in a backslidden state. He was about to fight against his own people. But what did God do? God prevented him. God prevented him. Isn't it a neat thing when God prevents you from doing something horrific in your life that you would regret the rest of your days? The Lord prevents you and me in probably more times than we could know or care to count from sinning so grievously that it would ruin the rest of our walk with God, as it did almost with Samson. You know what happened to Samson. But God was gracious to him at the end of his life. Here we find David coming to a place where he had no home. He had no home. He had no home in the Philistine area, and he had no home in Israel. He didn't know where to go. But was David listening and hearing this? Was David understanding what the Lord was trying to do in his life? The Lord was about to restore things back to David. But David didn't see it. He didn't see it coming. He wanted to find out, well, Achish, now you can see my war abilities. You can see my ability to do warfare. David was well renowned. He put fear into the hearts of everywhere he went when he fought wars, battles, before he ended up running from Saul. Isn't that funny how after we have a victory, after we have a victory, the devil can come in and say, boo, and we run like you know what. Or we fall into fear. We don't rest in that faith that God gave us. Goes on to say, is not David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David. Now this is what I'm talking about now. This is a testimony that you don't want in your life, of having some heathen tell you that, well, I don't see anything wrong with him. He doesn't stand out as a Christian. He or she isn't walking the walk. I find no fault in him. I don't find no fault in her. I want to get this down to a real plain level here, to a personal level. Each one of you online and each one of you here, to put yourself in these shoes for a moment. Walk in these shoes for a moment. And look at yourself in the mirror and say, Lord, is this me? Is this me, Lord? It says here, what? Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have found no evil in thee since the day thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor, thee not. The princesses, the Philistine army, favored him not. But God would use this rejection here for David's good, as oftentimes he does in your life and my life. He'll use the rotten, sour things that happen in your life for your good. And it goes on to say now, in verse 7, wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. Now, imagine David being concerned about displeasing the enemy when he was fighting Goliath. He didn't think about it then, did he? But now he was in a backslidden state, concerned and worried about what others thought. Because it goes on to say here, what? And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? He was actually arguing, what have I done? He wanted to fight the Israelites. And it goes on to say, and what have thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day? That I may not go and fight against the enemies of my Lord and King? Huh? This is David? That anointed one that the Lord set apart? A man after God's own heart? Now that's how far you and I can fall from grace. We get to that place in our life where we're fighting God's people. We get to that place in our life where we reject God's people and fight against them. We fight against God too. How about that? How's that? That's what's going on here. And that's what happens throughout the world. Everywhere you go. Churches especially. Hello. Okay, in verse 9. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princesses of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Wherefore, now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. As soon as ye have been up early in the morning and have light, depart. You know, here the Lord is working in David by any means possible to get his attention. By any way, anything that it would take to get his attention. And sometimes the Lord has to talk to us. Sometimes you have to be rejected by the world before he gets your attention. You have to be rejected by people at work. You have to be rejected by people that you used to think were your friends in the world and were not, really weren't your friends. Amen. Before you come to the end of yourself and you see yourself in the Lord. This is what the Lord's trying to show you today. Not everyone out there who says, friend, friend, is really your friend. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. If you're in church today and you're fighting against God's people, you're fighting against God, and you have so-called friends on your side that are in the same thing that you're doing, I can assure you those very same people will turn on you one fine day. Mark my word. Write it down. Remember it. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget that. One fine day, it'll surely come to pass. That's a promise. So David and his men arose up early to depart in the morning to return unto the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Praise God. Here we have, now going to chapter 30, David goes back to Ziklag. David's about to get into the fight of his life. But here we see things turn around. In spite of David's inability to see himself, that's by the mercy and grace of God in your life too. But here we have a bit of a touch of poetic justice going on. I want to preface that before we get into chapter 30. Because when David was living with the Philistines, he would go from town to town and plunder, pillage, destroy. In his backslidden state, doing the work of the enemy. And I want you to see that's what happens to every Christian who compromises with God. Every Christian who compromises with God. In verse 1, it reads here, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south." Now, the Amalekites were a roving band of people who they lived off the land and they lived off of others. They were like these gypsies that live in Europe today. They roved the landscape looking for booty, looking for anything they can find to survive. This is what the Amalekites were doing in those days. They were probably known as the gypsies of that era, of that time period, in that area of the world. Roving the land, destroying, invading, taking captive what they could find. If you do some research, that's what you'll find. The Amalekites, that's what they've done. And that's what they did here. And here we read, "And Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And it came, and they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." You see, I want to show you something, that God uses hardship in a person's life to get their attention. How many times have we said that over and over and over up here? But that's true. I don't want to sound redundant, but it's true. Sometimes people need to hear it again and again, to know that when they go through it, they can have confidence that God is allowing certain things in their lives to get their attention, to get your attention. Because we serve a merciful God. Amen? One who is gracious and merciful. Here it goes on to say, "So David and his men came to the city." I can imagine what it was like. David, here he is, with his 600 men, coming back, dejected, feeling rejected, from not being able to attack his own people. What a backslidden state he was in. What a terrible place to be. As he rides in, around the corner and over the hill. And there he sees in the distance, clouds going up. I can assure you it wasn't their wives cooking up a storm for a meal. But it was something far different. Far different. Here he comes. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Here they were coming, hoping to find their family a little comfort. Here they're riding a 3-day journey from where they were back to Ziklag on horse. And they find their homes destroyed. Now that's the enemy at work in your life. When you're in a backslidden state, when you're in that place where you are backslidden and you're not walking with God, you find that the enemy will come in and destroy what's not protected by prayer. It's not protected by the grace of God in some cases, because you've left off your first love. You've walked away. You've walked from under the protection of that umbrella. You decided to walk away from it and do your own thing and leave your hands at the mercy of the heathen from under God's protecting arm. This is what happens to Christians all over the world. Okay. So David and his men came to the city. We already read that. Then David and the people, we already read that. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Here we have David coming back to find his own wives gone and missing. In his backslidden state, David's a lot like the prodigal in the pig pen, isn't he? All the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But what happened here next? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David, who is broken, who was weak, knew he had backslidden, came to realize some things. That he remembered that God had called him to be king of Israel. He still had a calling on his life. And he was about to see God help him take back what the devil stole. And it goes on to say here, and David said to Abiathar the priest. You remember Abiathar, don't you? Abiathar was the lone priest who escaped after Saul had killed all the priests. He alone escaped with the ephod of the high priest in his hand. Goes on to say here, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, you remember Abimelech? He was the high priest that was killed. I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now here we find David come to his senses. He understands the need to seek God first. Sometimes before you get to know that you have to seek God, you have to be driven to your knees in despair. Sometimes you get to that place where you can't do anything more but go to your knees in prayer and seek God. Have you been there before? And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue." Oh, the sting of rejection now becomes sweet in the Lord's hand. Oh, it's about to turn, isn't it? And he answered, said, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all." Without fail, recover all. I want to read something out of Luke chapter 19. Real quick. Luke 19. Not to deviate too much from this story, because it's, I love the story, but to kind of parallel, again, I just want to go here, I just want to sort of read what happened here with Jesus and Zacchaeus. Here we have another picture that is painted about restoration. The title of this message, Taking Back What the Devil Stole, it's sort of another parallel in the Word of God that teaches us that we must restore to others, and God will restore to us. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich, rich off of other people. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. He was short. And he ran before and climbed up the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came, whenever Jesus comes to you, he always convicts and convinces of sin. He always shows you a way out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured. Now, isn't that the way of the world? Isn't that the way of all those around you? Murmuring, making sniveling remarks, looks. You see it all the time, don't you? I do. And he made haste and came down and received it joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a what? A sinner. Isn't that what he came to save?
Amen.
He came to save the sick, the sinner. He came to heal him too. He came to restore. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come," what? "To seek and to save that which was lost."
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Go to verse 22. Another parallel I want to show you. Here it says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. And they are hidden prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for spoil, and none saith restore. No one says restore. No one says peace. No one says, look, there needs healing here. Let's rectify the matter. There needs to be a remedy, a healing, a hope. Where is it? Where are people like that anymore? Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for a time to come? A time to come. Tomorrow, the next day? It could happen to you. Is there anyone in your life speaking up for you in your life? Praying for you? Giving you encouragement, strength when you need it? It says restore. Have hope. Be strengthened. Be at peace. Be encouraged. Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. We broke the law. Adam sinned against God, and we broke the law ever since. We couldn't make it by the law. The Lord had to come by his own precious blood and redeem us. The only thing worthy to receive, the only thing worthy for us by which we must be saved was the blood of Christ. Do you have a thing in your life, a relationship that's gone wrong? A lost vision? No direction? A dormant gift? How about if you're sick, you need healing? Things the enemy has stolen from your life, your family, your loved ones. The Lord says, restore that which was lost. He came to take back what the devil stole.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.
It says here, therefore, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. And it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to his heart. The way of the heathen, the way of the sinner is rough. The way of the wicked, you find no rest. The way of wickedness, the Lord is looking that you would submit to him. Come to him. Let him restore to you that which was lost and stolen. Let the Lord fight your battles. Amen. Okay, now we read back at 1 Samuel 30, verse 9. You know, another thought comes to mind. When God means to bless you, he often takes what you thought you had away from you. He takes away oftentimes all the little comforts that you think you have a way? What he means to bless you, he'll fill you with himself. He'll fill you with his ways, with his understanding. Much like that missionary couple who were about to give up, go back home. Until they prayed to God and he showed them a better way. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. I want to show you something. There are people that are weary in the battle. Some people can only do nothing but pray and support. Some people may not be able to fight as you're able to fight. But I want you to know that when you stay behind and you pray on behalf of others and you support those that are in the battle, God won't forget you either. Here it says, and they found an Egyptian in the field. I want you to observe something here. How that David being a type of Christ, this shows us how that he was even kind to his enemies. Amen? Look, read that with me. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. Here is a man who was down and out. He was a part of that Amalekite army who destroyed David's home, burned their city down in Ziklag. And here David is feeding him, giving him water to drink. Here he was 3 days without food and water in the desert, ready to die. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. And when they had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and 3 nights. I also want to show you something. The Lord can use any castaway thing in your life, anything that's abandoned for his purpose and good use, to turn things around like you did here. If you're abandoned, if you're rejected, if you're thrown away as refuse, piece of garbage, God sees it. God says restore. That's his way. That's his purpose. With the garbage people out in that Muslim country. Yeah. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Wow. And we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah. He didn't know who King David was, but he was about to find out. And upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Seeing their good fortune, David and his men must have looked amazed at this young man as he was telling them all this. But how many know that whenever you get back in right with God, he begins to reveal things to you from unknown sources?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He begins to show you things. Isn't that right, Shirley?
Amen.
He begins to reveal things that you never thought possible.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
The Lord shows. The Lord reveals.
Praise God.
The Lord opens eyes and ears and hearts to understand, see, and know what the devil's doing. Amen? That's God's way. When you're faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to you. And David said unto him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. I want to show you something. If you go along with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, turn there with me. I just thought this was kind of interesting and how that it parallels that verse. In verse 5:1 it says, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when ye shall say peace and safety, as these Amalekites were in the valley, they had no need to worry, they thought. After 3 days, no one came to follow after them, so they're going to go ahead and party and drink and have a good old time. Right there and right in the middle of the field, not even thinking that they were about to meet their doom. This is the way of the wicked and the world. This is the way that they get caught up in their own traps. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon the women with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Here they were about to overtake these thieves. In the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they which sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, are you hearing this? Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Are you hearing that?
That's right.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Salvation, restoration, hope, faith, healing, all that the devil stole, he seeks to restore.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Now, let's go to verse 17. Back to 1 Samuel 30:17. Then David smote them from the twilight even to the evening the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. Now, for there to be 400 young men to escape on camels, There had to be a lot of, that had to be a huge army. To have fought them from twilight till dusk had to have been a huge army. But David, along with his 400 men, 200 being left behind, to watch their things. So it is. God will use the small. He'll confound the wise by using the weak. He'll use you in small number to defeat those that are many. He'll cause you 2,000 to put 10,000 to flight when you're on your knees in earnest prayer and seeking after God and doing warfare. Your enemies have to scatter, or they'll be neutralized, or something will happen in God's perfect timing. And David recovered all. Did you see that? David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. What about in your own life? What are you doing to recover all that you've lost? What are you doing in your life to recover all that you've lost? Have you hit your knees in earnest prayer, weeping? Asking God, Lord God, and then encouraging yourself, believing, having faith to go after it in prayer, thanksgiving, hope. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." My question to you today is, are you God's spoil? Are you the spoil that God had died for on the cross? Hello? And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. Coming back on a 3-day journey to find everything gone, that raging brook, that river, that Besor over the Philistine territory, must have been wide and deep and very treacherous at the time. And it came to pass, 200 men were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David, and to meet with the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Now, it says here, and David to meet with the people that were with him. Who were those people that were with him? Well, if you quickly go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, there you'll read very clearly that these were the people that joined David in Ziklag while he was still there from Saul's army. It says here, in verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men helpers of the war. They were armed with bows that could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones, shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren, the Benjamin." Of Benjamin. If you skip over now to verse 18, it says, "Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, 'Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace, be unto thee. and peace be to thine helpers. In other words, referring to the 600 men that he was with. For thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of his band. It goes on to read that whole account of how that all these men from all these tribes of Israel joined in with David at Ziklag. So that's why I made mention of what I read here. In verse 22 now, it says, then answered all the wicked men. Now I want you to see something here. The men of Belial, in other words, there were people in that group that were kind of selfish. Not all of them, but there were some that did not want to share the spoil of victory. But I want you to see how David, being the type of Christ that he was, then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. What happened here? Well, David says this in verse 23. Then said David, ye shall not do so. You know, again, I want to mention that spoils and rewards are given to those who fought those and who gave support through prayer as well. Those people are not by no means forgotten in God's eyes. When you pray on behalf of other people, when you help them in any way you can, you're not forgotten. It says here, which the Lord hath given us, who hath persevered us, and delivered the company that came against us into our land. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? David said. But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Now that's fairness. David didn't forget those who came to him when he was in need. I want you to see that. He didn't forget those that came to him when he was in need. And it was so from the day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah. Here we have David now. David proving himself king worthy. David coming back. David seeing his need to repent and get right with God, coming back to himself. Now shows himself in king-like authority, showing himself to be a man worthy of kingship, as the Lord had prepared him all these years in the wilderness. Now he's doing what he was called to do. And it goes on to say here, and it was from that day forward he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you, and of a spoil the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramah, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aor, and to them which were in Shipmah, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rechael, and to them which were in the cities of the Rehobites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites. Wow. And to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Troshan, and to them which were in Attach, and to them which were in Hebron, and to them which were in the places where David himself and his men were wont to hunt. And I just want to turn real quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to read 7 and 8. Because here I want to show you something. He gave gifts to these people, being a type of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave gifts to us.
Because
it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And we know of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, that are found in Romans, 1 Peter, chapter 4, and others. You could read about them too. But it's an amazing thing how that this parallels. If you think deeply and go deeply into the Word, you can see how that these parallel each other, the gifts of God. He gave gifts unto the men. And that how that we are to benefit from those gifts to help others. Amen? Isaiah chapter 43, if you could go there with me. Make that 53. Bear with me. Praise God. I'm sorry. It is 43. Bear with me. Isaiah 43. Here we have in Isaiah 43, and it talks about what we've been referring to all along here. But it came, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Are you redeemed by the blood of Christ? Praise God. He paid the slave debt for our sins, the slave price that we could not pay. He redeemed us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, floods overwhelm, and fires consume, do they not? Floods overwhelm and fires consume. And God is there to protect us from that.
Amen.
He that believeth, you know, in Isaiah 29:16. He that believeth shall not be made to go in haste. I'm paraphrasing that. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. He proves his love in that. He's given nations and people for your sake, for my sake. He's given himself for you. Praise God. Oh, it says here, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. You know, he's the one who is able to unlatch those shackles while you're in exile. Those that don't have a hope for the future. When the Lord says, I have given thee a hope for the future in Jeremiah 29:11. If you were to go there and read that. I will say to the north, give up the south. Or I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring thy sons and from afar and thy daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by thy name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You know, when you learn to praise and glorify God, what have you done at that point? You fulfilled what you were created to do. When you glorify God. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Here God invites both the blind, the deaf, to try to prove him wrong. Can anyone prove God wrong? Not in the least. Oh boy, praise God. It says here, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am before me. Therefore there is no God formed, neither shall be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. You know, we are called to serve God, and to know God, and to obey God. Are you reading that? Because that's what I see. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. There are no other junior gods. There is no second class gods. The Jehovah Witnesses got their name from this, but they claim that God, that Jesus was a junior God. They don't give him the levity he deserves, the respect. They call him a lesser God. That's the Jehovah Witnesses out there of the world. I have declared and have saved and have sowed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. That I am God. But yet you have people like Creflo Dollar out there. Some names seem to fit. Creflo Dollar, who claims that you and I are little gods walking around. Little gods. Little deities. Huh? What's wrong with that picture? Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, who will prevent him? Who will prevent him from doing so? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all the nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. Oh my, my, my. And I am Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. In the path of the mighty waters. Like he did the Israelites. When he made a highway for the Israelites to cross over. To safe ground, on dry ground. On the other side. Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army, the power, they lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. In other words, a wick is what that means. A candle wick. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Oh, we need it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hey.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
If you're mired in sin, failure, discouragement, your past comes to haunt you, you feel like you can never go forward, but yet the Lord says he will make a way in the wilderness. He will make a way of escape. Amen? He will make a way where there seems to be no way anywhere. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
My chosen people.
Thank you, Lord.
To give drink from the wells of the water of life.
Amen.
Oh, thank
you, Jesus. To my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Are you doing that?
Yeah.
God's people show forth praises to God. Did you know that?
Amen.
God's people show forth his praises. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. They were in exile. Much like people today are in exile. And have no desire to be redeemed. Have no desire to walk in obedience to the Lord. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. In other words, he didn't cause us to serve God, to serve him with a yoke of bondage. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. People walk around today, they call themselves Christians. They say, I'm a Christian, I go to church. All the while they live in exile.
Their hearts are far from God.
Their lips praise God, but their hearts are far from God. But then they want God to come to their aid at their bidding, at their time of need. has wearied me in thine iniquities. Despite all the sin and the disregard for God, yet he still loves his people. Yet he still loves those with an outstretched arm all the day long to a gainsaying people. He stretched forth his arm all the day long, calling out to them, repent. Come back to me. Come back to your first love, and I will restore you. I can be that blotteth out thy transgressions. You remember the prodigal son, don't you? You remember King David, don't you? And I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, it says. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. He's begging you. Come back while there's still time. Come back while there's still a place to find repentance. Being the children of Adam, the whole human race was infected with sin. We cannot justify ourselves by any ways or means. We've got to come humbly to the Lord. And he'll restore you to right fellowship. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princesses of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproach. There's only one thing to say to that. If you reject God's solution for sin, the only thing that is left for you is to be under the curse and reproach. This is why the Lord came back. This is why Jesus died on the cross. To restore you and me to right fellowship with him. To restore us. To redeem us by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other road. There's no back door to heaven. True restoration comes with repentance. You must come to Jesus, the one way, the truth, and the life. By no other way or means can salvation be found but through his Son. And he'll restore you to right fellowship. He'll blot out your sins, your transgressions, and he'll restore you to right fellowship and your name in the book of life.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God. Amen.
Praise, the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you.
There's only one way. And it ain't man's way. In closing, let's sing that song number 15, The Windows of Heaven, in the chorus book. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus made everything right, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. and I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Be dismissed unto prayer. And join us downstairs. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.